I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just 10 bucks. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices, all for just 10 bucks every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax, tips, and fees extra.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Light a candle, pour some wine. Grab a roll, the soft kind for a little me time. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear. Wavy edges for my rear. So let the softness caress your soul. Just relax, you're on a roll. Let her rip. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear.
Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear has the same softness you love. Now with wavy edges that tear better than the leading one-ply brand. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Scott Dozier was convicted of 2 murders, one in Arizona and another in Nevada, where investigators found a dismembered body in a dumpster. There was no DNA to connect the crime to Dozier, and his conviction was based only on circumstantial evidence. And while he never admitted to the crimes, he also didn't argue his innocence or appeal his sentence, knowing that there wasn't a strong wrongful conviction case. Unlike most death row inmates who come from poverty and instability, Dozier grew up in a secure middle-class family with good parents. His siblings were some of his best friends. But those facts aren't the only odd things about this case.
What was most unusual about him is that he was volunteering for execution. And that to me was interesting in the months that followed as I started talking to him because, you know, he was asking the state to execute him. The state, you know, presumably wanted him executed, and yet he was still alive. The state could not find a way to follow through with their promise of death.
That's Gianna Taboni, journalist and author of The Volunteer, The Failure of the Death Penalty in America and One Inmate's Quest to Die with Dignity. Dozier was sentenced to death in 2007, but remained alive for almost 12 more years. Surprisingly, he begged officials to expedite the process, but the state of Nevada didn't comply. Normally, these delays are due to the federal appeals process, which is lengthy and expensive, but necessary to ensure that the right people are on death row. A shocking number of these high-stakes cases are ultimately overturned. But for Dozier, his execution was drawn out for a more unusual reason.
A lot of these states struggle to get the lethal injection drugs needed to carry out these sentences in an effort to, you know, kind of sanitize the death penalty or maybe make it look more humane or appear more humane. We have made lethal injection the main method of execution in this country. But what that means is that it's very hard for states to find a way to carry it out. You know, the firing squad is much easier to carry out because you don't have to source these drugs, right? It's a gun, a few volunteers, and a few bullets. With lethal injection, it's drugs that drug companies don't want used in these executions. They want to be known as the drug company that creates the cancer cure, you know, or the next best vaccine, or, you know, whatever their R&D departments are really trying to put forward. And as soon as they're known as the company that is manufacturing execution or drugs that are going to be used in execution, it's just not good public relations for them. It's not what they want to be known for.
But is lethal injection a more humane method of execution than, say, the firing squad or hanging? It might look peaceful and painless, but what are the risks?
One thing that's I think folks feel is deeply inhumane about this process is that a paralytic is used. And so that paralyzes the person's body. So if they're in distress, you know, in the middle of the execution, if they're starting to feel pain, if the stimuli is so strong that it's taking them out of this unconscious state, they can't always convey that because their body is paralyzed. So what anesthesiologists think is happening is that there's a really weak sedative that's used at the beginning, and then the body is paralyzed. And because the body's paralyzed, they can't, when the cardiac arrest drug hits, even the overdose of the sedative can cause these really painful sensations in their body. And so they may be in great distress, but they can't show it because they're paralyzed.
7% of all legal injections in the U.S. are botched. meaning the person doesn't die immediately, but instead becomes trapped in excruciating pain for minutes or even hours while unable to move or talk.
There have been cases where some of these inmates, you know, wake up and they're saying, I can feel this. It feels like my body's on fire. You know, in the case of Clayton Lockett, you even had two people, a paramedic and a doctor, involved in the execution who had a conversation about whether they should continue with the execution. But what I would warn is, you know, in those cases, you know, when you have these really graphic details, the public pays attention. But in the everyday execution, the public doesn't really pay attention because, you know, the news reports are sort of like, and he fell asleep at this minute, and then 7 minutes later, or 12 minutes later, 20 minutes later, he was dead. I think what people don't realize is that while that may appear to be someone peacefully falling asleep, these expert witnesses are saying, based on reviewing hundreds of autopsies, witnessing the executions themselves, and also being experts in these drugs, they say that is not what's happening to a virtual medical certainty. It may look peaceful, but the person is quietly in distress.
Dozier wanted to die by firing squad. He figured that it was the quickest, simplest way to go with the least amount of suffering. But that method is illegal in Nevada.
It's this idea that the firing squad is just too brutal, you know, for the civilized society that we live in today. And Scott Dozier's point was, look, execution is brutal. The state killing someone is brutal. It doesn't matter if it's by lethal injection or firing squad or anything else. The act is brutal. And so that's what he wanted, but the governor was unwilling to re-legalize that method.
Some states have re-legalized the firing squad, such as South Carolina. Just this year, two inmates there were executed by gunfire. Jump back to Nevada, and lethal injection is the only legal method of execution available. For Dozier, after more than 10 years of being locked up in limbo on death row, he tried to end it himself.
Absurdity is the perfect word for it. He really didn't want to die by suicide. He really didn't, and he said it over and over and over again. He had had an attempt that didn't work in Arizona several years prior, and it left him with a lot of medical side effects that impacted his day-to-day life. He hardly feared anything in life, but one of them was having to attempt suicide and it going wrong. And so he didn't want to do it. He wanted the state to do it. And when you have people who are incarcerated, whose environment is so dire that they'd rather die by suicide than live another day in their cell, I mean, I think that, you know, says a lot about our criminal justice system.
Dozier was placed on suicide watch, but was ultimately punished and moved to near total solitary confinement. In the end, Dozier took his own life, hanging himself with his bedsheet. While his case may seem extreme, it's reflective of the growing cracks within our justice system. Taboni says that taxpayers are paying billions of dollars for a death penalty system that simply doesn't work.
Each death sentence, depending on what state you're in, costs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars more than a life without parole sentence. And so, you know, you have 2,000 people on death row. I would take the average of that and just multiply it. So it's, yeah, millions, billions of dollars. It's a lot of money. And when you think about the fact that only 15% of death sentences are ever actually carried out, 15%. You know, 85% are effectively life without parole sentences. So we're actually paying an exorbitant amount of money for a system that isn't even working. The executions aren't happening, right? So we're just paying a lot of money for life without parole sentences.
Mahatma Gandhi is often credited with saying that a nation's greatness and moral progress can be judged by its treatment of animals. But what of its prisoners? Gianna Taboni's book, The Volunteer, The Failure of the Death Penalty in America and One Inmate's Quest to Die with Dignity, is available now online and can be requested through your local bookstore. To find out more about our guest this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, Chicago would look drastically different today without the Great Fire of 1871 when Viewpoints returns.
The new KFC Dunkin' Bucket with juicy original recipe tenders, new mashed potato poppers, crispy fries, plus three sauces that fit right on top of the lid, so you can dunk anywhere. You can dunk at the game. Dunk while security points to the no outside food sign. And dunk as 20,000 people watch you and your Dunkin' Bucket get removed from the stadium. Dunk almost anywhere with the new $7 KFC Dunkin' Bucket or get the double Dunkin' Bucket for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Lavie, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just $10. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices, all for just $10 every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax, tips, and fees extra.
The year is 1871, and it's October in Chicago. Thousands of trees slowly change to bright shades of yellow and red as the sun sets earlier and residents prepare for the long winter to come. So far, it's been an unseasonably dry, warm, and windy year. From above, the city looks much different than the Chicago of today. It's not a skyline of towering skyscrapers, but rather a flat landscape with rows and rows of mid-sized buildings. Sailboats and ships sit in the lakeside harbor, while coal-powered trains rumble in and out of the city through central railroad lines. Instead of cars, hundreds of horse-drawn carts travel up and down the dusty roads. The Chicago of this time is a densely populated metropolis that's mainly built out of wood.
Not only were the bulk of the buildings made of wood, but even the buildings that were made of stone and brick had wood frames. Additionally, the streets and sidewalks were made of wood. Even in some instances, the water pipes are made of wood.
Early Chicago was a bustling city with a bright future, but this all came to a halt on October 8, 1871, when a fire broke out at the O'Leary residence on the southwest side. You may have heard the theory that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern that started the fire, but Jones says that this common storyline is unconfirmed. So why were the O'Learys for so long blamed and berated?
The O'Learys, Patrick and Catherine O'Leary, fit into that paradigm, being Irish Catholic immigrants who are working poor and are at the sort of lower end of Chicago's socioeconomic hierarchy. And so that really puts into the context of what happens around the fire. Once you understand that the O'Learys are from a class of people who are disproportionately blamed for things happening in the city, even before the fire, that's how you then make sense of how Mrs. O'Leary was blamed for the fire afterwards.
Today, there are several explanations around the cause of the fire. One theory is that a horse cart driver named Daniel Sullivan was drinking and accidentally dropped his lit cigar in the barn and started the fire. However, the truth is that we will probably never know how exactly it started. What historians do know is that there were several factors that added fuel to the fire. Two-thirds of Chicago was built out of wood, and across the city, roofs were constructed from highly flammable tar or shingles. Many of these structures also skipped safety measures that would slow the spread of a blaze.
There were some additional safety measures that were known, but due to their costs, were not followed. The chief one being the idea of fire breaks, which are basically horizontal pieces of wood that go between the studs of walls that prevent the fire from shooting up in between the studs, almost like a chimney, and slow down the rate of burn. This was something that people knew about, but in order to build as cheaply and as quickly as possible, was often ignored in constructing of homes in Chicago, and that's where you get the idea of the balloon frame home.
You might be wondering, where were the firefighters? Why was the blaze able to get so out of control? Jones points out that Chicago actually had a fire department that was ahead of its time, but was hampered by a series of unlucky accidents that ultimately allowed the Great Chicago Fire to grow. One slowdown was that the firefighters responding to the blaze were initially sent to the wrong section of the city because of a human error in the alarm signaling system.
Basically, how the alarm system worked is in each box, it had an automated telegraph that connected to a call center, which was in the city hall and courthouse, which is the same location as our current city hall and county building. And the alarm box would send a Morse code signal of its number. So we actually have an alarm box number 26 in our collection and in the exhibition. So if that alarm was triggered, it would send the signal 262626 to the courthouse. And then they would ring the bell two times, then six times, stop, and then two times, then six times, right? And so this, at the time, was the elaborate system. But as you can imagine, there's so much potential for error, right? So they get confused on the number that they're hearing from the alarm box, and then they ring the bell the wrong number of times, sending the fire department into the wrong area of the city.
This delay in response led to the fire having just enough time to spread to a point where it could no longer be contained. It swept through the city during the night of October 8th and burned for 2 days until October 10th. By its end, it had killed about 300 people and left more than one-third of the city's residents homeless. 3.5 square miles of the city and more than 17,000 structures were burnt to a crisp. The entire central business district, today referred to as the Loop, was destroyed.
Many people compare the destruction almost to Armageddon or the end times. You often hear that reference used because many people had never seen destruction or devastation on this scale.
In the wake of the destruction, people across Chicago, despite their differences, pulled together. The events of the Great Chicago Fire garnered global attention, and as a result, resources from around the world poured in to help rebuild the city.
Within 2 years after the fire, there was no trace that a fire ever took place. And the number one reason why that happens is because there is huge commercial interest, not only in the city, but in the United States and around the world, to see that Chicago is rebuilt because of the role that many people saw Chicago as playing in the global economy, even in 1871. So enormous amounts of capital resources flooded into the city to see that it was built back better as quickly as possible because of its vital role in the economic fortunes of so many people.
The period after the fire was known as the Great Rebuilding. Stricter fire laws were passed to make sure that buildings were made from fireproof materials like brick, marble, or stone. A better city layout was intricately planned, and structures were beautifully designed by famed architects like Louis Sullivan and Daniel Burnham. By 1893, Chicago was again a global destination and hosted the World's Columbian Exposition, a highly anticipated fair that gave rise to several architectural masterpieces. Looking back, as Americans mark the 150th anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire, some believe that if the fire had never happened, Chicago today would be a much smaller city and not the third largest in the U.S. Jones says he hopes people will also remember how the residents of Chicago pulled together in a time of need.
We want people to ultimately have a positive view of how the city showed resilience and perseverance after the fire and grew to be the city that we know today.
To find out more about this topic and our guest, Julius L. Jones, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can also visit the Chicago History Museum in Lincoln Park, which has a brand new in-depth exhibit about the Great Chicago Fire. This segment originally aired in October 2021 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
The new KFC Dunkin' Bucket with juicy original recipe tenders, new mashed potato poppers, crispy fries, plus three sauces that fit right on top of the lid, so you can dunk anywhere. You can dunk at the game, dunk while security points to the no outside food sign, and dunk as 20,000 people watch you and your Dunkin' Bucket get removed from the stadium. Dunk almost anywhere with the new $7 KFC Dunkin' Bucket, or get the double Dunkin' Bucket for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Lavigne, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. What ancient creature would you bring back from extinction if you had a chance? A woolly mammoth? Maybe a T-Rex? A company called Colossal Biosciences is trying to make this a reality, but they're starting small. Meet Romulus, Remus, and Khaleesi, three newborn wolf pups with a twist. They carry genes from the long-extinct dire wolf. If you watched Game of Thrones, it's those same dire wolves that the northern family, the Starks, kept as pets. To create these new pups, the company used ancient DNA from a 13,000-year-old tooth and a 27,000-year-old skull to figure out what made dire wolves unique. Then, with a bit of genetic engineering, they added those traits into modern gray wolf embryos, creating pups that look and act like their Ice Age ancestors. But not everyone's cheering. Some scientists say these new pups aren't really dire wolves, just genetically modified gray wolves with a bit of extra flair. And others worry this Jurassic Park-style experiment could mess with today's ecosystems and take resources away from existing animals. Colossal Biosciences defends its work, saying that the project advances scientific understanding and could aid conservation efforts for existing species. Looking ahead, the company hopes to try the same technique on other ancient animals like the woolly mammoth and the Tasmanian tiger. But the question remains, how far should humans go in rewriting the past to shape the future? That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. We're less than a month away from Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning, which means it's the perfect time to go back and revisit the previous installments of the MI franchise. Since 1996, the Mission Impossible movie series has seen the release of 7, soon to be 8 different films from 5 different directors, and rewatching them is a fun way to travel through 30 years of action movie making. The series begins with a pitch-perfect spy film from Brian De Palma, full of fun gadgets, high concepts, and a lot of plot thrown at you very fast. From there, the franchise is constantly evolving. John Woo's sequel film from 2000 is an interesting look at what was selling at the turn of the century, as the series takes a misstep in replacing a lot of the spy intrigue with glitz and glamour. The J.J. Abrams-directed third film gives audiences an amazing villain performance from Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Ghost Protocol from director Brad Bird ramps up the stakes with Tom Cruise's incredible Burj Khalifa stunt. After that one, the series falls into the steady hands of director Christopher McQuarrie, who will give us his fourth mission next month, following my personal favorite in the series, Fallout, and its sequel, Dead Reckoning. Like so many franchises in this current era, Mission Impossible seems to be ramping up to a grand finale with The Final Reckoning. I mean, it's kind of right there in the name. But who knows what that means? Will this be the last time Cruise plays Hunt? Maybe, maybe not. But either way, it's so much fun to see the same actor getting to carry his vision of a character that he first played back in 96 all the way into the present day. And I will be there opening weekend. I'm Evan Rook.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just $10. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices, all for just $10 every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax, tips, and fees extra.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Lavie, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. 20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think 96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds today, and there will be a chance of showers, especially in the first half of the day. South winds gusty, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, a few showers around, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s. On Monday, watch out for the prospects of severe weather. It's 36 at our studios.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. And this week, how can we make the FDA more effective?
People often have the question for me what they can do to find safer products. My unfortunate message is that I don't think that you can find products that are safe and effective on your own.
But first, a new approach to cancer-related fatigue that's shaking up the status quo.
Oh, you're not sleeping. What is one of our gut instincts as cancer doctors to do? It's take this medication that'll help you sleep a little bit better.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Lavie, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
It's me, Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. I see those dry elbows, baby. But don't worry, get moisturized right in the shower. So hydrated, you can skip the lotion after.
Don't wanna see it dry no more. Skin so moisturized with Body Wash.
Look at you now, no more dry skin. Your skin gets the moisture it craves with
Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash.
Whether you've pulled an all-nighter or just couldn't fall asleep, having low energy levels during the day can really throw off your productivity. And though a coffee or energy drink can be a much-needed band-aid for the situation, not everyone can use such a simple fix. Cancer patients often experience more severe fatigue that's much more difficult to treat. It's partly due to chemotherapy, which lowers blood cell counts and kills off immune cells, contributing to feeling extra tired. And even after the treatment is done, Dr. Sung Choi says the various medications they still need can drastically disrupt their sleep. And sadly, compensating during the day for lack of sleep at night often backfires.
They like to sometimes keep their rooms dark. Even when you need the light to sort of reset their clock, they like to just stay in their room and they'll keep their rooms dark. They're not getting sort of the things that will naturally set their cycle. And so I think you just get into this loop where you then stay up later, you're sleeping in later, and it just, and then you're not walking or eating at set times.
Choi is a pediatric oncologist, bone marrow transplant physician, and professor of pediatrics at the University of Michigan. Aside from the frustration that comes with chronic fatigue, not getting adequate sleep can have harmful effects on our health. Olivia Walsh, CEO of the biotech company Arcoscope, says that getting the recommended 8 hours is only the tip of the iceberg.
You can put people on schedules where they get less than 8 hours a night, and they tend to get worse and worse at things like adding, subtracting, immunity from colds, mood. It's not good to have a low sleep duration. But an important part of sleep health that most people aren't thinking about is sleep rhythmicity, the rhythm of your sleep, which is funny because we think about rhythm in lots of other biological contexts, like breathing. It's good to have regular breathing versus fast, fast, slow heartbeats. Absolutely. Rhythm is central to our definition of health for your heartbeat. If it's arrhythmic, that's bad. But for sleep, we tend to focus on this 8 hours. And as long as you're getting 8 hours a night, we don't usually care so much about when that happens. But it's starting to change.
In fact, research is showing that sleep regularity is a stronger predictor of negative health outcomes compared to time spent asleep. A 2024 paper in the journal Sleep suggests that having a consistent sleep schedule could be one of the simplest ways to improve your general health. Walsh says this emerging research underscores the importance for paying attention to our circadian rhythms.
Your body's internal clock controls your sleep. It controls a lot of other things as well. And when you have irregular sleep, your body doesn't have a clear sense of when day is and when night is. And as a result, it kind of tries to do everything all at once. You can totally get stuck in this feedback loop where you don't get light at the times you need it. And so then you're up at times when you should be asleep, you should be avoiding light, and then you're tired the next day. So you sleep in and you miss out on the light again. And so it's this sort of horrible cycle where it's really hard to break out of it, especially if you don't think light matters. And lots of people, including me in the past, didn't think light exposure and timing mattered to health. I was sort of in this framework of 8 hours a night, and that's it when it came to sleep health.
But now, Walsh is working to fight fatigue by correcting the body's internal clock instead of throwing medication at the problem. Her company has created an app called ArcaSync that uses an Apple Watch to track a user's circadian rhythm, then gives personalized feedback to reduce their daily fatigue. Choi is excited about the possibility of helping patients through behavioral changes instead of adding another drug into the mix. Walsh, Choi, and Caleb Mayer, along with other collaborators, recently published a paper in Cell Reports Medicine that shows this app can significantly decrease daily fatigue, anxiety, and sleep disturbance. They saw improvements in all three groups of patients studied, which consisted of people with either prostate cancer, breast cancer, or blood cancer. The app helps get users back in the practice of hitting cues throughout the day that set up their circadian rhythm.
What are these cues? It's the light. It's breakfast, it's walking, interacting with people. And when you're missing all of them, it can further compound and sort of worsen fatigue as time goes on.
These cues are timed differently for everyone, depending on how you want your day to go, which made building this app tricky. Mayer was responsible for creating the algorithm that collects and analyzes user data, then responds with personalized feedback. There were various challenges, but one unique to cancer patients is that their data will look different than a healthy 20-year-old's. So Mayer, a postdoctoral scholar at Stanford University, had to figure out how to make sure the app was tuned to this specific community.
Wearables can capture a kind of wide array of different behavioral and physiological signals. Those are impacted, obviously, by your circadian rhythm, but by a lot of kind of external influences as well, right? So it's kind of, we have to parse out kind of which of these are reflecting the circadian system versus just reflecting like individuals taking a bike ride, going on a run, just different behaviors throughout the day.
Mayer's algorithm captures a user's activity patterns and heart rate to tune to their circadian rhythm. For their paper, the team gathered user data for a month before making any recommendations to make sure the app had an accurate picture of the individual's internal clock.
It's non-invasive. We don't have to poke them with any needles. It's just what they're wearing on their body. They're not even thinking about it. And the data is just being collected. And they use this fancy mathematical algorithm that can then, based on those features, make recommendations of what to do.
Since everyone's internal clock is unique, the team had to make sure that their app is able to recognize what an optimal day looks like for each individual. The algorithm allows the recommendations to be tailored specifically to each user's lifestyle and goals.
If somebody loves waking up at 9 a.m., I really don't have a scientific justification to say, no, you should wake up at 7 a.m., but it's going to change my recommendations for what they should do, especially if they're chronically waking up, let's say, earlier than 9 a.m. And if they're chronically waking up earlier than 9 a.m., but that's their goal, what I would probably tell that specific person to do is avoid light in the morning in order to delay their rhythms and make it so that they naturally wake up at 9 a.m. For somebody else who's really wishing they could wake up earlier and that's their goal, then I'll say, yeah, like we're going to get you bright early morning light to shift you earlier so that now you're naturally waking up at 6 or 5 a.m. when your goal time is.
The recommendations can also vary day to day, depending on how your activity levels shift. Part of the goal is to increase the user's circadian amplitude. This is basically a measure of how much your rhythm goes up and down throughout the day.
So if you've got a really high amplitude melatonin rhythm, I would say that if I'm looking at your body producing melatonin, which is what people's bodies do once a day, even if you don't fall asleep, if I keep you up in a room all night, your body is still going to produce melatonin. And it looks like nothing and then a really strong rise. It peaks and then it goes down again. And it's really clear. But somebody with a low circadian amplitude, we could bring them into the lab. We could start collecting their saliva. And you look and it's just no clear rise time. It's maybe a few spikes here and there, but it's barely nothing. They've basically flattened that circadian rhythm and it's low amplitude.
In other words, having high amplitude means your body definitely knows when it's nighttime and time to start producing melatonin. Having a flattened circadian rhythm causes confusion. The body has no idea when to make you sleepy, so it won't produce much melatonin at all. Thankfully, you can train your body to have high amplitude and get your cycle back on track.
We can predict whether actions you take will make your amplitude higher or lower. And so we've done this with disrupted people where we kind of let them do whatever they want. And then we use our model based on what they did to say, okay, did your amplitude go up and down? And then we can correctly predict it. But the sort of theoretical way for maximally boosting amplitude is what we did in this sync study with cancer patients, where we said, get a ton of light, especially in the middle of the day, and then get the darkest dark you can at night and be really, really consistent about this.
The app also recommends when a user should be eating or not eating as another cue to the body of daytime versus nighttime.
And so we say, hey, this is the window of time today for you that we think is going to be best to eat during. Then as the day goes on, we'll say, hey, start dimming the lights. Often we do this earlier than people are prepared for, especially during daylight saving time. We're like, listen, dim the lights. Your body's trying to produce melatonin. And every minute you're still in the light, it's not going to do that. Your body suppresses melatonin in the presence of light. And we want to get your rhythms high again. We want to boost your amplitude. So dim the lights. And in our trial, we actually gave people blue blocking glasses to help them do this.
The algorithm will also calculate the most realistic time users will be able to fall asleep. With the success of the cancer patient groups in Walch's study, she's hoping to expand this technology to help more communities. A recent feasibility study in kids revealed that it could help reduce their fatigue, and early data from an ongoing trial is showing that patients with multiple sclerosis are finding similar benefits. As she looks towards the future, Walch has her eyes set on using ArcaSync to reduce preterm birth.
The same kinds of algorithms can help us track and boost circadian rhythm, circadian amplitude in pregnant women. And there seems to be a lot of connections between schedule irregularity, low circadian amplitude, and fertility and preterm birth. And so our hypothesis is that if we can get people to be on a really regular schedule with their lighting and their eating, which when you're pregnant, you're up at night, it can be hard. But if we can just like start to make people appreciate and gamify this stay regular intervention, that we can make it so at-risk women don't deliver as early as they otherwise would have.
Along with this goal, future research will look at the best time to take medications during the day and the sex-based differences in amplitude. ArcaSync is available now to download in the App Store or Google Play. You can find more information about Dr. Sung Choi, Olivia Walch, Caleb Mayer, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, the fall of the FDA's pre-market review when Radio Health Journal returns.
Here's comedians and Skechers getting comfortable, presented by hands-free Skechers slip-ins.
Hey, I'm Bobby Slayton, and I'm here with my pal, comedian, and Skechers ambassador, Mr. Howie Mandel.
Why did it take so long to invent something as amazing as slip-ins?
Maybe because all the inventors were focused on more important inventions, you know, like pet rocks and selfie sticks, and of course, seedless watermelons. You know, real important inventions.
But I know it seems simple, but it took Skechers to invent a better pair of shoes.
Yep. With Skechers slip-ins, you just step it and go. You don't have to touch your shoes, and you do not have to bend down.
And We know how much you hate bending down.
Hey, careful, Howie. Family commercial. And by the way, slip-ins are for the whole family, men, women, and kids, in all your favorite Skechers styles, from sneakers to casual shoes to boots and even sandals.
See, that's what I love about Skechers. They don't discriminate on gender, age, or shoe orientation. Even sandals deserve the best technology. We've come a long way, Bobby, as a society.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself, Howie. And by the way, you can find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Last week, we discussed the various challenges that are reducing the value of the FDA. This agency is a critical piece of public health and is often a gatekeeper for the safe and effective products we use every day. In fact, Daniel Aaron, a researcher who focuses on the FDA, believes it's one of the biggest determinants of safety our country has.
People often have the question for me, you know, as an FDA researcher, what they can do to find safer products or more effective products. And my unfortunate message is that I don't think that you can find products that are safe and effective on your own. I mean, there are databases and there are studies that you can try to sift through to find answers. But the truth is that scientists are the best position to make these calls, and specifically scientists who are independent and who are protected and who aren't funded by the industry, right? Neutral scientists. And FDA is our best shot at that.
Aaron is an associate professor of law at the S.J. Quinney College of Law at the University of Utah. He argues that the FDA is a linchpin in our society that helps us avoid death when we're sick or have a chronic disease. And since it's a century-old establishment, most of the public assumes that the products we purchase won't hurt us because they've undergone FDA review. The first version of this pre-market approval was in 1938, when manufacturers needed to prove that new drugs were safe for the public to use. This was amended in the 60s to include that products need to be both safe and effective.
Now, the 1960s was kind of an era where people believed in the promise of government to solve core social problems. And it was a time after what's called the thalidomide disaster, when there was this drug called thalidomide that was used for nausea in pregnant women. Unfortunately, it caused severe birth defects in thousands of children globally. And so as a result of this disaster, there was an increased attention to the risks of drugs, and FDA was given a lot more authority to oversee drugs. But also concurrently with that, there was also developing authority over food and over the ensuing 10, 15 years over medical devices. So it was kind of in this critical period, largely centering in the 1960s, that we really entrusted FDA to guard our health by verifying product safety and efficacy.
However, as we spoke about last week, there are systems in place that allow a kind of fast track for some items so they don't have to undergo the full pre-market approval. This began in the 1980s under the Reagan administration, which helped expedite the approval of new drugs.
Concurrently, there was also the HIV epidemic, and there was no treatment available at the time. And so we had people dying across our country from HIV. And so there was actually a large mobilization, largely of LGBTQ people, to have expedited access to drugs that haven't gone through the full FDA process.
A movement that was successful in petitioning the FDA to accelerate its processes in times of emergency. However, the value of this expedited process was soon recognized by corporations who were quick to petition for more of it.
Although that was well-intentioned, corporations then entered the fray and leveraged the HIV epidemic and FDA's quicker process to say, well, we have a lot of serious diseases like cancer, you know, like heart disease, and maybe we need to speed approval of all of these drugs, not just for HIV. So that was actually a pretty successful argument. And over the next 20 years, FDA's approval processes changed due to a variety of reasons, including new statutes from Congress, FDA changing its processes internally, and generally approval became much easier.
Thankfully, the FDA realized that if some of their pre-market reviews were going to be less rigorous, there needed to be a sort of checks and balances for the products. This process is especially important for the supplement industry because nearly all of the FDA's oversight happens after the product is available to the public. The idea is that this reduces the barriers for consumers to access products that would otherwise be held up in pre-market testing. However, Aaron argues that one issue with relying on post-market review is that it could reduce the incentives for companies to rigorously test their items.
If you need FDA's approval, then you're going to go try to find that evidence. and trying to prove to FDA that your product works. If you're allowed to go into the market beforehand, then it's not clear that you have that same incentive. In fact, you can start making money right away. And so that risks a few things. One, there's already profit involved. And so then FDA is put in the position of having to enforce the law against companies that bring products to market and don't comply with evidentiary requirements, right? The post-market review. So that means it has to have staff and lawyers to go pursue these companies. It has to get the Department of Justice on board. I mean, this is a lot of resources to try to get companies to comply after the fact.
Aaron says it's a lot easier for the agency to realize any illegal activity and enforce the regulations before products are released to the public. When we rely on the post-market review, the FDA now has to hunt down evidence and information from all of these companies. And as we discussed last week, they don't have the manpower or financial resources to do this effectively for every new product that's introduced. But even if they did have the time and money, Aaron's not sure it'd make as big of a difference as pre-market approval does. Through his research, Aaron's noticed that for other countries with similar post-market systems, it's rare for pharmaceutical products to get pulled from the market.
Patients do start using drugs when they're available, and it's kind of hard to just take drugs out of the hands of a patient, especially when some patients might swear by the drug. It could be that a drug didn't help a patient at all, but they randomly just got better, which does happen. But still, there can be this subjective desire to hold on to drugs, even ones that don't really work.
Another hurdle is that companies will often sue to keep their products available to customers.
If you look at regulatory regimes that the FDA runs, that where it does more of a post-market approach, you do see really big litigation. To give an example, with dietary supplements, FDA doesn't really have pre-market review. So companies can usually market a dietary supplement without getting FDA clearance. But FDA can still ban dietary supplements, and it has, although rarely, because it has led to a lot of litigation, right? Companies sue to keep their products on the market.
One prominent example of this is in 2004 when the FDA banned the sale of dietary supplements that contained a plant called ephedra.
Ephedra is a plant, a botanical that was used in supplements to provide energy or weight loss. And FDA thought that this was a very harmful substance. It identified more than 18,000 adverse event reports.
Which is a significant number because these instances are so often underreported. Research shows that as little as 1% of serious and unexpected adverse events are ever reported to the FDA.
But still, FDA had about 18,000 adverse event reports for ephedra, and then it banned it in 2004. And that led to a really big kind of litigation saga. So, and of course, a litigation episode consumes a lot of FDA staff and lawyers, right? So it's just not a very great, helpful process. So all this is to say that once a product is on the market, it's really hard to claw back. And FDA's examples in drugs and dietary supplements provide really good examples of how hard it is to claw back. And so post-market review sounds good, but in practice, it's kind of just allowing the product to market.
So if post-market review isn't the perfect solution to deregulating pre-market approval, what can we do to keep America's health gatekeeper effective? Aaron believes consumers can be part of the solution by showing the FDA that we would rather have safer products than quick access to new items. This public demand helped shape the deregulation response during the HIV crisis, and it can help the FDA refocus its efforts to fit the needs of modern America. You can find more information about Daniel Aaron and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Le Vie, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just 10 bucks. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices. all for just $10 every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax tips and fees extra.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Medical notes this week. Would you take a cancer vaccine? They were first approved for prostate cancer in 2010, but little progress has been made since. Now researchers have created a vaccine that helps the immune system better recognize tumor molecules. This method helps prevent the cancer from ever returning after it's been defeated. In animal models, the new vaccine works against various types of tumors, including melanoma and breast cancer. The research is published in the journal Nature Biomedical Engineering. Your humidifier could be making you sick. Many people use these products to help relieve dry throats and stuffy noses, but experts say they can also release toxic metals into the air. To combat this health risk, fill up your humidifier with distilled or reverse osmosis water, which have very few minerals. Another way to maintain good air quality is to increase the room's ventilation by opening windows. And finally, is global warming bad for your gut? Heat stress can create changes in the gut microbiome that make us more susceptible to harmful bacteria. It can also make our bodies less effective at absorbing vital nutrients that feed our gut. The findings are published in The Lancet Planetary Health. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayon Vastabetancourt.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in for insider deals on must-have spring styles from your favorite brands, like an extra 30% off new dresses, handbags, and accessories from Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Donna Karan New York, Avec Lavigne, and more. Plus, get 15% off fragrances, beauty, and skincare, too. It's not only the best time to shop for yourself, it's also the best time to shop early for Mother's Day. Don't miss Friends and Family starting tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Oh, by the way, Ivan's no longer on the project. His wife got a new job, so they're moving across the country.
Robin's top researcher is deviating to a new market. This isn't standard.
And now we're short-staffed. Who's going to finish all these projects?
She needs a cluster of new data analysts, and there's no margin for error.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content, and tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Trail Mix 103.1, available on the Civic Media app. Download the app for free